Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 228. And we'll read two verses. We'll read them in unison, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And may we stand, please, together for the reading of God's Word. After reading these two verses, we'll go to yet another passage. All right, let's read it together. Ready? "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Turn now to the book of Micah, the 6th chapter in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 950, 950, the book just after Jonah. We'll read three verses here, the text verse being the 8th verse. We'll read verses 6, 7, and 8. And we'll read these in unison. And let's read them together, please. Ready? "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And let's pray. Lord, it is a wonderful thing to be a part of this great church. We just really haven't the slightest notion of what all it really means. Thank you for the privilege, for the joy of it. And thank you for that which you prepared for us tonight. One day we will face thee. One day we'll give an account for all that ever happened in this place, whether we were present or absent. One day we'll give an account of all that we heard. May we hear carefully. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was a little boy, or growing up into manhood, I only had three pastors that really influenced my life to any degree. We had one other pastor that was only in our church for a few months. But first was a fellow named Forrest McElroy. Forrest McElroy, big giant fellow about the size of Joe Boyd. He baptized me. And I can still remember sitting in the pew and watching the pastor. And I remember him preaching. I remember all about him. That was when I was a child. When I was a young teenager, we moved closer to another church, and we didn't have a car. We moved across the street, another church, and we joined that church. Mother and I did, Erlene. And my second pastor that influenced me was named D.D. Summerall. D.D. Summerall was a compassionate man. And as I think of him, I remember his tears. I remember how red his eyes used to be at the end of the day. He did not know soul winning as we know it. He did not know to organize the church soul winning, and he carried pretty well the burden of evangelism on his own shoulders. And he didn't preach anybody down the aisle. Nobody came down the aisle. But I can remember he had preached with compassion, and everybody that would walk the aisle had to get saved in the service because nobody was trained to be soul winners much. But I can still see him at the end of a Sunday when nobody got saved. I can still see his red eyes and his tears. I can remember him calling a prayer meeting at the altar because he said nobody got saved today. I can see him as he wept and prayed. Third pastor influenced me more than all the others put together was J.C. Sizemore. Brother Sizemore was a little man, I'm guessing 5'6" maybe. He came to visit here. It must have been now 12, 13 years ago. And I was thinking about this. I used to sit where you sit and hear Brother McElroy preach. Now, Brother McElroy's been in heaven for a long time. It's only a memory in my mind. I used to sit where you sit and listen to Brother Summerall preach. But years do come and years do go. And a new generation does pass on, or on the scene, an old generation passes off the scene. Brother Summerall's been in heaven now for a number of years. Brother Sizemore is in heaven now. They're all gone. And I was thinking before I preach tonight, it'll not be long, just a few years at most. So Brother Hiles will just be a memory in the minds of some of you young people. And I will be to you then what J.C. Sizemore is to me now. And I will be to you then what D.D. Summerall and Forrest McElroy are to me now. And I realize the fact that I'm on the stage just for a while, as all of us are. I thought about that when Brother Bullard prayed tonight, Brother Colston one prayed something about this work here and the joy of being a part of it. Let's take advantage of it while we have it. Let's realize what we have and what God is doing here. There'll be a day when some of you will be saying exactly what I just said. You'll be saying, I used to sit in First Baptist Church of Hammond and hear this real good-looking preacher preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I realize, too, that I am marching toward the place where those men are. And while I'm here, I must do my best. Night cometh when no man can work. Only twice in the Bible do you find these words, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" What doth the Lord require of thee? And I'm going to speak tonight from those two passages, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, and has listed here, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. There it is, right there. What doth the Lord require of thee? There's five things. And then again, we find only one other time in the Bible that same question asked. So Micah 6:8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good." And what doth the Lord require of thee? Same questions asked in Deuteronomy 10:12. What doth the Lord require of thee? Here it is. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I want to speak tonight from those two passages, the only two times in the Bible that you find the question asked, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" Our Heavenly Father, bless our message tonight. May I speak as a dying man to dying people. May I speak with eternity in view. And may my friends, neighbors, and members, and beloved people listen with eternity in view. In Jesus' name, amen. On the surface, listen carefully now, on the surface, it seems the same. Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" List five things: fear the Lord, walk in all his ways, love him, serve him, and keep his commandments. Now we come to the book of Micah, read a while ago, 6:8, and the questions ask again, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" And the answer is to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Now, there seems to be a contradiction here. The same question is asked twice, and different answers are given. Is one answer an answer from Moses in the Pentateuch in Deuteronomy, and the other from the minor prophet Micah? Is there a discrepancy here? Is there a contradiction? One says, ask the question, what doth the Lord require of thee? Answers it, fear the Lord, walk in His ways, love Him, serve Him, keep His commandments. Other asks, inspired with the same Holy Spirit. I'll ask you not to take notes while I preach. I want you to look at me and listen to me now. I want to preach to you. I want to change your life, and I can't do it if you're sitting there writing. No, for that, I want you to hear me now. I'm preaching to you, and I want you to hear me. The other says, what the Lord require of thee? The answer is, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Now, what is the difference? Listen carefully. Here it is. The two words require, the two times the word require are mentioned, one in Micah 6:8 and the other in Deuteronomy 10:12, when the same questions asked, what doth the Lord require of thee? These two words in the English are the same words, but in the Hebrew, they're not the same words. One word means, in Micah 6:8, the word require is a very strong word. What doth the Lord insist upon? What doth the Lord require thee? What doth the Lord insist that you do? Are you listening? Then in Deuteronomy 10:12, the same questions asked, what doth the Lord require thee? But that word require is a softer word. It means, what doth the Lord inquire of thee? Or, what doth the Lord ask of thee? Or, what does the Lord want from thee? So, in Micah, he's saying, these are things that God insists. Are you listening to me? These are things that God insists that you do. What are they? To walk, to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Now, those three things, God says, I insist that you do them. He says, these things you do. No back talk. Just do what I say now. He says, I insist that you do them. To do justly, I insist you do that. To love mercy, I insist you do that. To walk humbly with thy God, I insist that you do that. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, the word is softer. I request that you do this. I ask that you do this. I would want you to do this. This is a request, not a command, but a request. What doth the Lord inquire of thee? What doth the Lord ask of thee? What doth the Lord request of thee? He said, now, I insist that you do justly, and that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with thy God. But he said, I request, strongly request, that you fear the Lord, walk in all His ways, love Him, serve Him, and keep His commandments. Now, let me say this. This insistence, this what the Lord require of thee, has nothing to do with salvation. Brother, all God requires for salvation is that you realize that you're a sinner, and that sinners are lost and on their way to hell, and that Jesus Christ, the virgin-born, sinless Lamb of God, came and lived and fulfilled the law of God, and went to Calvary and took upon Himself your sin and paid the penalty for your sins and mine on the cross and the sins of the whole world. And you realize that, and you say, dear Lord, I believe that, and I rely on that as my hope for heaven, and I put my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross as my hope for heaven, and if God be God, this Bible be true, you're on your way to heaven. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And over and over and over again, he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth on the Son is not condemned. And over in the Bible, it's very plain. You don't earn heaven. You don't get baptized to heaven. You don't take communion to heaven. You don't join the church to heaven. You don't do good deeds to heaven. You trust Jesus and go to heaven. That's all. Now, somebody said salvation's free. Oh, no, salvation's not free. Just free to you. Cost Jesus an awful lot. But it's free to you. Now, so we're not talking tonight about salvation.
I'm not talking about what does the Lord require. God, I heard a preacher preach one time on this text. He said, what does the Lord require? If you go to heaven, you've got to first do justly. And secondly, you've got to love mercy. And thirdly, you've got to walk humbly with thy God. He had a hole in his head. He had bats in his belfry. He had rooms for it upstairs. No way. No way. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing you can take to earn heaven. There's nothing you can join to earn heaven. You just say to Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know you paid the price for my sins. And from this moment forward, I rely on you in believing faith as my hope for heaven. That takes care of that already. Now, once you've come inside Jesus and once you have become a member of the body of Christ, then he says, what doth the Lord require? This is what God requires, not to become a Christian, but what God requires of Christians. Now, let me say this before I go any further. I really can't relate to people that don't want to carry their weight. I can't relate to that at all. I just have an awful hard time. I have a hard time relating to people that want to be anything best than anything less than the best in any area. Have a hard time. I never have lacked second place. I just never have lacked second place. Somebody said you ought to be a good loser. I was up in Rockford years ago preaching at a Sunday school convention. And the mayor of the city was here and some other fellows here from the city officials and so forth. And I preached that night at this area-wide Sunday school convention. Over 1,000 folks, Sunday school teachers and workers and pastors and full-time Christian workers. And when I got through preaching, a little sissy preacher walked up to me and he was walking like this and he talked like this. And that just bothers me. It just bothers me. I think he ought to go to San Francisco where he belongs. But anyway, he just walked up and he said to me, he said, Dr. Hyatt, he said, you strike me as being a very poor loser. And I said, I don't know, Buster, I ain't never lost yet. Now, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, which is a nice word. But anyway, I don't relate to people. Now look, if you don't win, at least you can do your best. I don't understand this thing of not doing all you can, whatever you do. My Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, it didn't say, I'd like for you to, said do it. That's the command of God, just like don't drink, just like don't cuss, just like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's in the Bible. There it is. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. And I just don't understand people that just want to get inside heaven and just sit down. Saved so as by fire. And they get raptured. Then they get raptured. They'll be singed on the way up. I don't understand that. You know, I like to pay my way. I still, this day, I have an awful hard time not paying the bill in a restaurant. I just don't enjoy the meal if I'm not going to pay the bill. Now, I expect I got a lot of folks that like to go eat with me. But I just don't enjoy it. Bill Harvey, we'd have to be sitting around the table, and the waitress come, and she'd say, here's the ticket, and the fellow at the head table would get in. Bill would say, here, let me have that. Yes, that's right. And he'd give it back. But I don't quite relate to that. I've got to pay the bill. Now, I just have. I just want to carry my end of the load. And brother, if I find something my Savior requires of me, well, bless God, I want to do it. And I want to find out what it is. So I find two places in the Bible where God requires me to do something. And since He requires it, I want to find out what it is because I want to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, in the first place, He says, what doth the Lord require of thee? And He has three things listed, and this is the strong word required in Micah 6:8. He said, now, God said, I insist that my people do this. He said, in the first place, do justly. Now, that word justly is an all-inclusive word. It includes all of the integrity type words. For example, when he says, do justly, it means what the Lord require of thee? The Lord requires of thee to pay your debts and pay them on time. Now, brother, I don't understand. In the first place, I don't understand folks making debts they don't know they can pay. And let me stop and say this. You know what I think? I think we've got too many people in this church who make up their budget and then try to find out how to get the money. Now, what you ought to do is you ought to figure out how much money you make and then draw your budget up. You don't adjust your income to fit your budget. You adjust your budget to fit your income. Look, I could save you a lot of trouble there. Folks come to me and say, this is how much I've got to have to live. I got news for you. You could live on a third of that if you had to. This is what I've got to have. No, you don't have to have that. There are people in this church that are living on $50 a week right now. So how do they do it? I don't know, but you may know one of these days. But I'm saying, what does it mean? It says, what doth the Lord require thee? Do justly. And that's an all-encompassing word that includes every bit of integrity. Let me just paraphrase it. What doth the Lord require thee? To pay your debts on time. What doth the Lord require thee? To work hard where you work. You know, do you know why I think Japanese steel has closed, these steel mills out here, or have closed them before? You know what? A bunch of lazy rascals out there, it wouldn't work. We've got men in our church that were hated in those steel mills out there because the other folks wouldn't put in four. And a man told me out there who was an executive. He said, if we get 4 good hours work in 8 hours, we feel like we're fortunate. If we get 4 good hours work, men and men. Now, a lot of those fellows are going hungry tonight. And people, listen. I can buy steel, if I were building a building across the street, I can buy steel from Japan and have that steel shipped over here and pay the tariff for it and save money on buying steel in Indiana Harbor. You know why? I know why. Because American workers lost their soul and they lost their character, they lost their integrity, and they weren't doing justly. Now we're going to Japan to find out how to do it. Used to, Japan came over here to find out how to do it. What the Lord require of thee? In case you don't like what I just said, you can just figure out the best way to put up with it you can. But I'm going to apologize. It'll be the 300 years of the millennium. But I'm saying this. I'm saying the Lord requires you to work 8 hours for 8 hours pay. That's requirement. What doth the Lord require of thee? To be honest. What doth the Lord require of thee? To be fair. What doth the Lord require of thee? To be on time. Did you hear me? I said be on time. Did you hear me? I said be on time. Did you hear me? The Lord requires you to be punctual. What doth the Lord require of thee? Requires integrity. What doth the Lord require of thee? Justice. Like I said the other night, not believing gossip. That's a requirement. Not believe gossip. Unless you saw it. Or the person that about whom it is said, says he did it, you're not to believe it. That's justice. Somebody asked a while ago, the question answer time. And they meant well, and one of the finest members we have. Man that I respect tremendously. He said, what would your verdict have been in the case of this veterinarian who killed his baby in the living room? What would your verdict have been? Would you pronounce him guilty or innocent? And I said, I don't know. I wasn't there at the trial. I'd have to be there. I'd have to hear his testimony. It would not be just for me to say, this is what I'd have done. And yet, 90% of the people in this room have already decided what you would have done if you were a juror. And you're unjust. You weren't there. You didn't hear the case. You say, I read the newspaper. 90% of all the stuff you read in the newspaper is a lie, and the other 10% is not true. Well, I'm a newspaper editor. I came to hear you preach tonight. I'm glad you're here. I hope you can get straightened out while you're here. Start telling the truth. Now listen to me. God requires you to be honest. What doth the Lord require of thee? He requires you pay your debts. What doth the Lord require of thee? He requires you to live with you in your income. What doth the Lord require of thee? He requires you to put in 8 hours work. Boy, I'll tell you, I got a letter the other day from a man in this town. He said, I want to write you a letter. By the way, he's probably here tonight. He said, I'm going to start coming to your church. And he said, I want you to know I've been hiring those Hiles Anderson College young men. And he said, those are the hardest working young men I've ever hired. And he said, they have sold me on your ministry. And he said, I'll be there in your church the next Sunday morning. That's what it ought to always be. I'm not saying First Baptist folks ought to be the most popular folks in town, but the hardest working folks in town. I'm not saying First Baptist folks ought to be most popular folks in town, but the best debt payers in town. I'm not saying the First Baptist folks ought to be the most popular folks in town, but the best rent payers in town. I'm not saying First Baptist church folks ought to be the most popular folks in town, but the most honest folks in town, the most decent folks in town, the folks that have the most integrity of anybody in town. God says, I require that of you. doth the Lord require thee? Do justly. Pay your debts. Work hard. Be honest. Be fair. Be punctual. Have integrity. Don't believe gossip. Tithe. Let me say it again. What the Lord require thee? Tithe. Pay your debts. And tithe. And work hard. And tithe. And be honest. And tithe. And be fair. And tithe. I wouldn't trust a man that wouldn't tithe as far as I could throw this pulpit. Wouldn't do it. He'll rob God. He'll rob you. You know why he robs God? Because he doesn't think God's here. And he gets behind your back. He thinks he's behind God's back right now. And God doesn't see him. And he sits behind God's back and steals God's money. He'll get behind your back. He'll steal your money too. We got a deacon in this church doesn't tithe. He ought not. No, he ought to quit. Start tithing. Nobody ought to be a deacon doesn't tithe. In fact, we told you when we asked you to run for deacon, you're supposed to tithe. Nobody ought to stand up and teach the word of God in Sunday schools a God robber. God requires you to be honest. That means pay your debts. What else does God require? What else does God insist upon? Love mercy. To love mercy. Now that too is an all-inclusive statement. Love mercy. Mercy is an all-inclusive word. It includes compassion. It includes forgiveness. It includes empathy. It includes gentleness. It includes sympathy. It includes patience. It includes understanding. It includes kindness. It includes feed the hungry. It includes clothing the cold. It includes putting shoes on the barefoot. It is an all-inclusive word. To love mercy means you're supposed to do all these things I just mentioned. Let me paraphrase it. Did you notice? First two things God requires. One, he requires us to do justly. Second, he requires us to love mercy. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, give yourself no mercy and give other folks mercy. He's saying, be harder on yourself than you are on others. Boy, that'd be something if you'd do it to change your life. You expect more from yourself than you expect from others. You be harder on yourself than you are on others. What does it mean? It means if you are late, be tough on yourself. Somebody else is late, have mercy. If you don't pay your debts, be tough on yourself. Somebody doesn't pay you their debt to you, have mercy. If you are unkind, be tough on yourself. If somebody else is unkind, have mercy. If you don't work hard, be tough on yourself. If somebody else doesn't work hard, have mercy. What God is saying is this. God is saying, you expect infinitely more from yourself than you expect from somebody else. And I'll guarantee you in this room tonight, there are people all over this room who are a lot 10 times as tough on other people as they are on themselves. And God says, I require. What doth God require of me? God says, I insist that you do justly and that you love mercy. And then he said, number three, I insist that you walk humbly with thy God. Once again, this is an all-inclusive statement. To walk humbly with thy God means to pray. What does God require thee? To pray. What does God require thee? To meditate. What does God require thee? To confess your sins to God. What does God require thee? To worship. What does God require thee? To praise. What does God require thee? To adore. What does God require thee? To live in the Bible. What does God require thee? To act like a Christian. What does God require thee? To dress like a Christian. What does God require of thee? Wear your hair like a Christian. What does God require of thee? He requires of you all these things of walking with God. And he says, I require you to walk humbly with thy God. I was thinking about this a while ago. You know why, humanly speaking, this building is here? I'll tell you why. Humanly speaking, this building is here because of the teenagers of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Young ladies, sit down now. Don't be walking around while I preach. Have a seat. Listen to me. You know why Baptist City is out? You know why we have a high school, a junior high school, a grade school at Baptist City? Humanly speaking, because of the teenagers of First Baptist Church in Hammond. Let me tell you the story, kids. We wanted to build what we call Baptist City. We also wanted to double the size of this auditorium. But first, we wanted to build our Baptist City out there. I had to borrow, I think it was $750,000. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was $750,000 for the partial building of Baptist City. Went over to the bank and or contacted the bank. Vice president over there is a man named Walker. Said, Mr. Walker, we need to borrow $750,000. Mr. Walker said, Reverend, he said, no way we can do that. And I said, Mr. Walker, would you give me a half a day of your time and let me talk to you about our needs? He said, I'm a Christian man. I will. We sat in what's now your office a half a day. I set him down in behind a conference room table, and I stood up. And brother, I had every chart we've got, every good thing about us I had written, everything we'd planned to do. And I for 4 hours I talked to him. And he said, I'm interested. And then one night, he came to the midweek service to visit this church to see what it was like. He sat back there, and in those days, our teenagers filled the choir on Wednesday night. When Mr. Walker, and his wife is still a lovely, faithful member of this church, Mr. Walker saw those teenagers, he said his eyes filled with tears. And he said, I didn't know that there were any teenagers like that left in America today. He said, a church like that deserves some help. And we borrowed $750,000 from the Hoosier Bank. And I'll guarantee you, we probably borrowed $5 million, or more than that, since then from Hoosier Bank. And this building right here, Mr. Walker got us the loan himself for this building here. And this great empire we have here tonight is because some young people walked humbly with God and were just and right and did what God requires of them. And I'll tell you something. That's why we have it all. Now, these are things that God says, I require. I require you to do justly. I require you to love mercy. I require you to walk humbly with thy God. Now, there's a softer word in Deuteronomy. We won't turn to it, but there's a softer word. It says, what doth the Lord thy God require thee? Now, this word require is a softer word. It means, what doth the Lord request of thee? Now, I don't have much faith in the sincerity of your Christianity if you don't want to do more than just what's required. There's not much to you in any endeavor. If Tom Landry, coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said, he said, I think he said 85% of all the National Football League teams do the same things. He said the champions do the other 15%. I wouldn't give you a dime for a student that just wants to pass. I wouldn't give you a dime for a college student just wants to graduate. God says, there are some things I insist that you do. He said, I insist that you do justly. I insist that you love mercy. I insist that you walk humbly with thy God. But now you said, in case anybody wants to do more, I've got some things I'd really like for you to do too. He said, I'd like for you to fear the Lord. What does that mean? That means to respect God. That means to reverence God. That means to love God, but realize if you cross Him, you're going to be in trouble. What doth God inquire or request of you? He requests you walk in all His ways. What does that mean? That means be where He meant you to be. Love Him. What does that mean? That means deeply love Him. He said, now, I insist that you do justly. I strongly request that you fear the Lord. I insist that you love mercy. I strongly request that you walk in all God's ways. I insist that you walk humbly with thy God. I strongly request that you love me, serve Him, He says, or do His will, and keep His commandments. Now listen. Listen carefully. Here's the message. Let's bundle it up. There are three areas where people in this room live tonight. Three areas. One area is that of being a Christian. That's all you are. You are a Christian. You put your faith in Christ. You died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Your name is written in the book of life. Rapture came, you'd go up. You know that's all settled. It's done. The great transaction is done. You're a Christian. But there's a second group of Christians here tonight
who are what I would call respectable Christians. Now, these respectable Christians, hear me now, are those that do what they are supposed to do, and God insists that they do. They do justly. They love mercy. They walk humbly with their God. Thank God there are some Christians in this room tonight that I call acceptable Christians. Acceptable. They fear the Lord. They walk in His ways. His will is more important than a raise in pay. His will is more important than being transferred with the company and getting a double your salary. They love Him. They serve Him. They do His will. They keep His commandments. They obey the Great Commission. They go soul winning. His slightest desire is their request. Those are accepted. Ask you a question. Where are you? Where are you? God requires three things. First, salvation by faith in Christ. Are you there? That's all some of you can say. Or have you decided to do what God insists you do? God said, I insist that you do justly, that you love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. Some of you are there. But you don't do any more than you're supposed to do. But there are others of you who are acceptable Christians. Let me see if I can illustrate what I mean. 1926, September 25th, I was born. I weighed over 11 pounds. Now I weigh a good deal more than 11 pounds. But I weighed over 11 pounds when I was born. I was born at home, little country, little small town called Italy, Texas. I was the son of Coastal Matty Hiles and Willis Athey Hiles. Now, my mother was my mother, and I was her son. My remaining her son did not depend on my character. My remaining her son did not depend on my treatment of her. My remaining her son did not depend on how I behaved toward my mama. I was her son because I was born her son. But I want to say this. I was also a respectable son. I did what my mama said. I did what I was supposed to do. I did for my mama what a person is supposed to do for his mama. For the last 20 years of my mother's life, I paid her rent. I bought her groceries. I kept her clothed. I gave her a sizable check every month. I sent her on vacation by airplane twice a year. I went to see her. These are my obligations. I was a respectable son. I did what I was supposed to do. But wait a minute. Please forgive me for saying this, but it's true. And God knows it's true. And my mom will tell you when you get to heaven it's true. I was also her acceptable son. I not only did for my mother what she wanted done, what she insisted I do, I did for my mother everything I thought she wanted me to do. And if I found something I thought she wanted, she got it. And I got it for her. I watched her every need, not only her every need, but her every desire. I heard her one day brag on his little grandchildren's pens with a little different kind of stone for each of the month of her birth month of each grandchild. I went down to the jewelry store and bought her one. Then I bought her one with each child, every little thing. I heard her one day brag on a diamond ring. I bought her one. I heard her brag on a watch that had diamonds around it. I bought her one. Why? I want to be more than just the son of my mother. And I want to be more than just the respectable son of my mother. I want to be the acceptable son of my mother. And I want to be more than just a child of my Heavenly Father. I not only want to be His child, but I want to do what He requires me to do. And then I want to do what He requests that I do. Where are you tonight? Where are you? What doth the Lord require of thee? To be what? A Christian? No. To be a respectable Christian. You don't tithe, you're not a respectable Christian. You're a dishonest crook. He says, I won't come back here next Sunday night. Well, you can find some little sissy preacher wearing lace on his undershirt
that'll let you get by with robbing God without telling you you're a God robber. But you won't get it here. What doth God require of thee to do justly? What's that? That's pay your debts. That's work hard. That's be honest. That's be on time. That's be punctual. That's what God requires of you. What does He require of you? To love mercy. He requires of you, not request, requires of you to love these little bus kids that come here. He requires of you to give food to the hungry. He requires of you to be forgiving to those who've wronged you. He requires of you to have compassion on those who suffer. He requires you to have sympathy and empathy with those who are less fortunate. He requires it. If you're a respectable Christian, you do justly and you love mercy and you walk humbly. Be a respectable Christian, you've got to walk in this book. To be a respectable Christian, you've got to walk with God. To be a respectable Christian, you've got to walk on your knees. To be a respectable Christian, you've got to meditate on the things of God. But I want to go farther than that. I want to be an acceptable Christian. I want to love Him with all my heart. And I want to obey His will and be where He wants me to be. And I want to do what He wants me to do. And I want to fear Him and serve Him until I die. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you tonight, aren't you tired of just being inside? Aren't you weary of just being a child of God and that's all? Doesn't it matter what you're supposed to do? Doesn't it matter about being honest and decent and right and working and paying your debts? Doesn't it matter? Why don't you decide to be a respectable Christian and do what God requires? But now, if you're there already tonight, why don't you decide to be an acceptable Christian and watch Him for His every request and do what He requests you to do? Do what He asks you to do. Do what He wants you to do. I close with this. I'm not a good example, but I'll guarantee you, that there's not a man on this platform won't say amen under his breath, and I don't want you to say amen out loud. But there's not a man on this platform what won't say amen to this under his breath. I watch for folks who have need. I look for it. I've got this patience with beggars. Don't come to me begging for me. I've got the patience with beggars. But I watch carefully. If I see John Colston has a need, I watch for it. He doesn't have to come to me. I watch for it. And I do what I can to fill that need. If one of these men on the platform has, if I know about it, and I try to find out, and I try to watch, because I want to be more than just a respectable boss. I want to be the kind of boss that does more for those who work for him than what he's supposed to do. I want to be the kind of boss that does what the needs are, and even the wants of those that work for him. And somehow I just can't relate to a Christian who doesn't want first to do what's required of him, and second, to do what God wishes you to. If God will just let me know it, that He wants it, He doesn't have to require it. That's why to me, I don't ever say, what's wrong with? I'm so busy doing a bunch of stuff, it's what's right with. I haven't got time to mess with what's wrong with. It doesn't bother me at all, because I'm trying to keep my eyes on Him. And the slightest little thing He wants me to do, I want to get the signal, and I want to do it. I ask you tonight, in which group are you? Christians? The respectable Christians? Or the acceptable Christians? Our Heavenly Father, do Thou in this room tonight a work of grace. Do Thou in this room tonight a work in the lives of our people. Pray for those who are not Christians that they'll do what the Lord requires, put their faith in.